for you. It says, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so this morning we recognize that the medium through which God's word is proclaimed is a bit different than we are usually kind of just used to on a Sunday morning. However, we know and we are thankful for and we are assured of the fact that God's word is still as powerful as ever, no matter how it gets delivered, right? And God will use it, as always, to speak truth into our hearts and into our lives. And so with that, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask Him to do just that. Let's just close our eyes and go to Him in prayer. Father, this morning we come to You, Lord, and we recognize, Lord, that even though we're not physically together, Lord, that it's not about a physical building, Lord. We are Your church. We are members of Your body, Lord Jesus. And we come together now, even though we are together virtually, Lord, we come together now as brothers and sisters in Your name, Lord Jesus. And we want to come and sit at Your feet collectively, and we want to hear what You want to say to us, Lord. We are praying, Lord, that You would open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, that we would hear Your voice, Lord, that we would be open and attentive to Your word and allow Your word to speak into our lives, Lord, and that You would touch our hearts, Lord, that we would be willing to yield our lives fully and completely over to You, Lord Jesus. So we come before You now. We pray that You would bless this time that we spend together in Your word. And Lord, may You be magnified amongst us, Lord Jesus. May we see You even more clearly, Lord Jesus, even through the midst of our circumstances that we're currently dealing with, Lord. Lord Jesus, that Your name may be glorified and magnified in this world and in our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so another thing this morning that's going to be a little bit different than what we usually do is usually on a Sunday morning, we're currently on our way in a journey through the Gospel of John. This morning is going to be a little bit different. This morning we are breaking that study through the Gospel of John to instead focus on a topical study. And I've entitled this study this morning, Stop Guessing, You Know the Answer. Stop Guessing, You Know the Answer. And to clarify that title a bit, if we think about our daily lives and the situations that we are confronted with, we often face situations and circumstances which are challenging to us and that we recognize that are beyond our control. And because we recognize that these situations are beyond our control, that often causes uncertainty in our lives. It often causes anxiety and fear. And if that's left unchecked, what that sometimes causes us is to even doubt the plan and the purposes of God in our lives. His sovereignty and that His plan is good. And one such situation that can cause this doubt and fear in our lives is our current situation with COVID-19. But it's just an example of a situation that can cause us to doubt. And so no matter where we are this morning and where you find yourself, because of current circumstances, your heart may be filled with fear and anxiety that's causing you to second guess the eternal truths contained in God's word, which you know in your heart to be true, but now you're struggling with those truths because your present circumstances have clouded your vision of Jesus. And if I were to ask you the direct question this morning, do you believe that God still works and that His plan for you is good? What would your response to that be? Do you believe that God is still good even in the midst of these circumstances? Do you believe that He's ultimately in control of the circumstances that we find ourselves currently? What would your response to that be? Would it be, yes, absolutely, I believe it, I know it to be true? Or would your response be kind of along the lines of, well, I guess so. How many of us maybe walk around with that response in our hearts at this very moment, where we're just saying, well, Lord, I guess so. If that's you, or even almost you this morning, I want to encourage you from the Word of God this morning that once again firmly fix your eyes on our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sufficiency. The only true answer to any situation or any question or anything that you can face in your life, anything that you can even think of or imagine, Jesus is sufficient to cover that. And to remind you that you know the truth, you know the person of Jesus, who never ever changes, no matter what your present circumstances are, so that you can stop guessing and start standing on the eternal truth which you know. And his name is Jesus. So won't you please turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to be reading there from verses 1 through 6. And so in our text this morning, we're going to be meeting John the Baptist, where circumstances in his life caused him to doubt, and how Jesus reminded him of the truth about who he is. But before we dive into the text, let's just go to the Lord once again in prayer and ask him to bless this time as we come and sit at his feet. Lord, we come to you this morning, and as we come and sit at your feet and open up your word, I pray, Lord, that your word says that it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And so I want to pray, Lord, that you would use your word to cut into those areas of our lives where nothing else can. That you would speak truth into our hearts, even in those deepest recesses in our hearts, Lord, that where fear and anxiety and things are just lurking there, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, that you would shine your light of truth in those areas, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would minister to each one of us individually, as you're so faithful to do every single time when we come to you, Lord. You are the ultimate God, Lord. You are the one that reigns supremely in the universe, Lord. You created it by just saying a word. And so, Lord, we know and we believe that you are who you say you are, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would minister to us now through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we dig into the text this morning, just a little bit of background. Now, in this text, we pick up with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist actually sends messengers to Jesus from prison. Now, for those of you that don't know, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. It was actually prophesied about him in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, that says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." He was also the one that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. He saw the Spirit of God ascend on Jesus like a dove, and he heard the voice of God the Father in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So if there's anyone throughout the course of history that should know who Jesus is, it's John the Baptist. I think we can agree on that, right? And so in our text this morning, we find that John the Baptist is in prison. And the question is, well, why? Mark chapter 6, verse 17 to 18 actually tells us. Mark chapter 6, verse 17 to 18 reads, "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her, because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" And so that's how John ended up in prison. He spoke to the ruler of the region, saying to him that what he's doing is not lawful according to God's word. And because he spoke the truth of God's word, he wound up in prison. Unfairly, right? And so it's from here where we now pick up in our text. The public ministry of Jesus has begun. Jesus, in chapter 10, sent out the disciples. And now John is sending a message from prison with a very specific message, a very specific question that he wants to relate to Jesus. So let's read there, Matthew chapter 11, from verse 1 through to verse 6. "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So here, John the Baptist is in prison. And being there, not because he did something wrong, but because he actually stood up for the truth that's in God's word. And he had the courage to proclaim the truth of God's word to someone in power. And because of that, because of the truth of God's word, it got him into prison. And being in prison here in verses 1 to 3, we see he's hearing about the works of Christ. And this actually led him to send messengers to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for one for another?" And when we read these verses, it's very important for us to understand the general mindset of the Jews at this time. The Jewish people were ruled and oppressed by the Roman Empire at this time. Herod, who put John in prison, was the governor of the region. And the Jews, for the most part, hated the Roman rule over them, and they were known for periodically rebelling against the Roman Empire. In addition to this, at the time, the Jews had a general expectancy of the Messiah to come. And when the Messiah comes, they expected him to free them from Roman rule and for the Messiah to set up his kingdom on earth. And so these factors now play into this situation that we read here in verses 1 to 3. John is unjustly imprisoned by the Roman authority, which the Jewish nation does not like, and he's sitting in prison. And he starts hearing about the public ministry of Jesus. Now remember, this is a man who's the forerunner of the Messiah, right? Someone who knows who Jesus is. And he's sitting in prison, and he's expecting Jesus to do something. That Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth. He's expecting that Jesus is going to overthrow the Roman government, and that, you know, he's going to start ruling. But nothing like that is happening. And so his expectation is not being met. And day by day goes by where John is sitting in prison and he's challenged by his situation. A situation that is beyond his control. And from his perspective, Jesus is not doing what he is expecting of him. And how many times can we say that in our own lives, where we're struggling, we're sitting in situations that are beyond our control, and we have a specific expectation of Jesus, and Jesus is not doing what we've expected of him. And because of that seemingly unmet expectation, doubt starts creeping into the heart of John. And John starts to doubt, even to the point where he's now sending messengers to Jesus to ask Jesus, basically, "Are you the Messiah or not?" That's really what he's asking. And to think about it once again, that this is a man that has been ordained by God to be the forerunner of Jesus. And so I don't want us to miss the magnitude of these three verses that we're reading right here. Here we have a man ordained by God to be the forerunner of the Messiah, to proclaim the coming Messiah, the one who physically baptized Jesus, who saw the Spirit descending on him and heard the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Nevertheless, because of his present circumstances and unmet expectations, he started to doubt. He started to doubt in who Jesus really is. He started to doubt the truth that he already knew. And if this could happen to John, we would be foolish to think that this could not happen to each and every one of us. And we must be vigilant to guard our own hearts against this. But how? How do we do that? Well, let's read on in verses 4 to 6 and see if we can glean something from the Word of God. Let's read there again from verses 4 to 6. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Here we see the messengers coming to Jesus, right? With the question, are you the Messiah or not? And the interesting thing is that we don't see Jesus answering their question directly. Instead, he focuses their attention on the things which they can hear and the things which they can see around them. He's showing them that the blind are seeing, the lame are being healed, the lepers are being cleansed, the dead are raised up to life again, the deaf are hearing, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. In essence, what Jesus is doing right here is he's having his works answer their question for him. Basically, that his works proves who he really is. And them being Jews and knowing the scriptures, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They understood it almost immediately. Because they understood that he was relating his current works, the things that he was doing, he was relating that to prophecy. To the works that were prophesied of the Messiah that the Messiah would do when he comes. And you can go and read all about these prophecies in Isaiah chapters 29 through to 42. But basically, he's answering their question by showing them that by performing these works, that he was fulfilling prophecy. And by implication, that he was fulfilling prophecy means that he is the one and only true Messiah. And what is interesting is he's not explicitly telling them that he is the Messiah. He's allowing them to come to that conclusion by themselves, based on what they see, or we can say, based on what they experience, and the truth from the scriptures which they already knew. In the same way today, as we're dealing with our current circumstances and the things that we face in our own personal lives, if we have unmet expectations that have led us to a place of uncertainty and fear, and causing you to doubt in the nature and the person of Jesus Christ, the word here provides the answer to us, to each and every one of us. It once again affirms that Jesus is, in fact, who he says he is. That if you have any doubts, that you can bring those doubts to Jesus. Jesus is not intimidated by the doubts that John has in his heart, right? In fact, he wants us to come. He says that he calls us in his word to come to him, right? If we are weak, if we are weary and heavy laden, he's calling us to come to him because he can give us rest. He's calling us to come to him. He's calling you to come to him and to bring those doubts to him and allow him to remind you of his works. Firstly, through events documented for us in his word. And how many instances are there in the Bible of where God has shown himself to be faithful over and over and over again in the life of fellow believers? I'm just thinking of Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, as we would call it. How God has shown himself faithful over and over and over again. These things are documented in the Bible for our benefit, right? That we would know that he's faithful, that he has been faithful in the past, and that that pattern of works that he's displayed would kind of be a pattern for us in the future, that we can trust him, that this is how he's going to work in future, right? So that his faithfulness in the past would be a pattern for us and proof to us that he's going to be faithful in the future. The second thing is that through the reflection on past events in our own lives, the Lord is using that to once again encourage us that he is going to be faithful in our present circumstances and whatever we may face in future. And so, based on the truth that we know from God's word, and based on our own personal experiences, Jesus is allowing us and bringing us to that point of looking at these experiences to come to a conclusion, to come to the true conclusion that he truly is who he says he is. That he is eternal, that his power is great, and that our present situation, compared to who he is, his power, his majesty, is nothing. You know, we often get so overwhelmed by our current situation because our current situation is right up in our face. We look at it. It's all around us in the news. People are talking about it. People have fear on their faces. And it's right there in your face. But the Bible calls us to have a heavenly mindset. To not look at our present circumstances. And it's like the example of Peter. When Jesus was walking on the water, and the Lord called him out to step out of the boat, out of his comfort zone, and to walk on the water. And when Peter had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was walking on water. Jesus was empowering him in order to do that. But the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus is when he started to sink. And so what we need to do this morning is once again remind ourselves about the nature and the person of Jesus Christ. Through the facts documented in his word and through his past faithfulness in our lives, and that serve as a pattern for us that he is going to be faithful in our current situation and whatever we may face tomorrow, the day after that, or even the day after that. In essence, we are called to make a choice. We are called to make a choice to either trust Jesus or we won't. And it's as simple as that. We know the truth. We know who Jesus is. But being confronted with the truth, we are called to make a choice based on the knowledge that we have of him. And so, in the context of knowing who Jesus is, in the context of knowing that he's the sovereign king of the universe, Jesus says in verse 6, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And that word offended can be translated as being a stumbling block. So literally Jesus is telling us not to be stumbled in our walk with him because of what's happening in our lives, in our present situation. He's calling us to an eternal perspective. He's calling us to focus our eyes on him. To recognize that this life is simply a vapor. That it's here today and gone tomorrow. And after that, we can look forward to spending eternity with him. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4 tells us, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Set your mind on the things that are above. That's what the word is exhorting us to do in this current situation that we are facing. Not to look around us, not to be made fearful by the wind and the waves, the news reports, or the fear that we see on people's faces. We know the truth. We know the truth is Jesus Christ and his person. We are walking with the truth, the hope in our hearts around us. And we can be those vessels that Jesus wants to use to spread hope to the people around us. Therefore, instead of having the present situation, this passing circumstances distort our view of who Jesus Christ really is, let's seek him. And if we have doubts in our hearts, let's make that a priority to take that to him in prayer. Spending time with him in his word and allowing him to once again encourage us about the facts that we do know. So that when we are in darkness and when we are confronted with the situations around us, that we don't start doubting the facts that we already know. But that we can stand firm on the truths that we know based on his word and based on his past revelation of his power in our own lives. So that we can, in these uncertain times, stop guessing and start standing on the truth that we know, the person of Jesus Christ. And what I want to encourage you to do in these uncertain times is not to neglect spending time in prayer and spending time in God's word. This is where we meet Jesus, in the pages of Scripture. This is where he primarily reveals himself to us, where we learn of him, his nature and his character, and not to neglect that. And what I want to do is to end off with a section of Scripture that just once again reminds us of the love that Jesus has for us. Because if we look around and we look at this COVID-19 situation, we look at the news reports, our daily lives have been disrupted. And people are walking around fearful. Some people may doubt and think, does Jesus still love me? However, the truth from the Word of God declares to us that Jesus once and for all demonstrated his love to us on the cross. There's no other act throughout the course of history and time that can better define the love that Jesus has for you than the fact that he was willing to lay down his life for each and every one of us individually. And if Jesus had a choice of whether to lay down his life, if he could only save you, he would have still made that decision to lay down his life because he loves each and every one of us like that. And so to remind you of the extent of God's love towards you, Romans 8 verse 31 to 39 says, Romans 8 verse 31 to 39, what then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to this situation that we're facing ourselves in at the moment? What shall we say to the COVID-19 epidemic? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor nothing present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if there's any doubt in your heart this morning that Jesus knows you, that he loves you, and that he's got a plan for your life, even in the midst of chaos, let that fear and that doubt be dispelled by the truth contained in God's word this morning. Go to him. Jesus is not intimidated by your doubts. Take those doubts to him in prayer. Open up your word. Read your Bible. And allow Jesus to encourage you from the examples in his word of his past faithfulness in the lives of fellow brothers and sisters. And allow Jesus to also again remind you of his past faithfulness in your life. And allow those things to once again define your view of who Jesus is instead of your surrounding situation. Because when we see Jesus clearly, we cannot help but recognize the truth of who he really is. That he is the Messiah. That he is truly the one who is the Savior of the world. That he is our living hope. And that we can put our entire lives in his hand. Because he holds us in the palm of his hand. And so I want to end off with these words. Stop guessing because you know the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we just want to pray, Lord, that and ask you humbly, Lord, that if there's any doubt in our hearts, Lord, about the situations that we are facing currently, about the things that are happening in our lives, Lord Jesus, that we would humbly bring those things before you. That we would come and sit at your feet, Lord, and allow you to minister to us, Lord. That we would open up our hearts, Lord, even the deepest recesses of our hearts and our lives, Lord, and allow you to come into those areas, Lord. That we would truly be willing to submit our lives to you and allow you to truly be Lord and Savior of our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there's any brother or sister that's listening to my voice, wherever they may be at this present moment, Lord, if the enemy has so blinded them by the current situation, Lord, or their circumstances or the things that they're facing in their lives at the moment, Lord Jesus, where their vision of you has been distorted, Lord Jesus, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would minister to them, that you would meet them right now, wherever they are, that you would truly touch their hearts and their lives, that you would open their eyes to once again see you clearly, Lord Jesus, for who you are. You are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by you. And so, Lord, we want to just commit our hearts and our minds in the midst of this chaos into your hand, Lord. And we want to choose to trust you, Lord, not because of anything within ourselves, Lord, or anything outside of ourselves, Lord. It's because of who you are, because of the truth of who you are, because of the fact that you've shown yourself to be faithful, because of the fact that you've shown your ultimate love towards us on the cross. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this now, this truth in our lives, that you would draw us unto yourself, Lord, and that we would truly spend that time with you in prayer and in your word, and to be open and receptive to you ministering to us on a daily basis, Lord. We ask this not because we deserve it, Lord. We ask it, Lord, just humbly before you as your children, asking our Heavenly Father that you would help us, Lord, that you would lift us up, and that you would strengthen us in our inner man. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.